Senator Kennedy, Senator Jackson has said that if you should want the Democratic nomination, you can have it for the asking. You have said you will not make a decision until 1975. Can you tell us some of the elements that will enter into your making that decision?
Well, first of all, I, of course, appreciate very much the sense of confidence which has been expressed by Senator Jackson, but I think that that's really unlikely that anyone would be able to just throw their hat in the ring and achieve the nomination in 1976. There are going to be extremely important issues discussed. It'll be basically decided by the primaries. We'll just have to wait and see. As far as my own decision, and that'll be made in 1975, it's basically a personal considerations, responsibilities to my family, and those are the overriding, that's the overriding consideration.
From CBS News, Washington. A spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview on Face the Nation with Senator Edward M. Kennedy, Democrat of Massachusetts. Senator Kennedy will be questioned by CBS News congressional correspondent Roger Mudd, Martin Nolan, Washington bureau chief of the Boston Globe, and CBS News correspondent George Herman. Face the Nation is produced by CBS News, which is solely responsible for the selection of today's guest and panel.
IBM is pleased to sponsor these Face the Nation broadcasts, which give you, the viewer, an opportunity to hear and evaluate varied opinions on the issues of the day. A forest is changing all the time. In 100 years, what will it be like? Knowing the answer could help us manage our forests more wisely. Here at the Hubbard Brook Experimental Forest in New Hampshire, data that may give us that answer is being collected by ecologists like Dr. Daniel Botkin of Yale University and his graduate students. Data on leaves, tree growth, soil structure, fallen twigs, seed collection, climate, water analysis, stream flow. Millions of measurements have been collected. So many measurements that no one human mind could put them all together.
So with the help of research scientists from IBM, we developed a mathematical model of the Hubbard Brook Forest on a computer. The technique is called computer simulation.
Dr. James Janik, IBM.
Computer simulation can represent in seconds the growth of individual trees over centuries, either on a typewriter terminal or on a display terminal. Here, Barbara Black, a programmer on this project, is simulating beech, sugar maple, yellow birch, and 10 other species.
Dr. James Wallace, IBM.
On the computer, we can make this forest grow for 10 years, 50 years, or even 400 in the case of these long-lived spruce. And we can cut a forest down and see it as it grows back.
These scientists at Yale University and IBM developed the computer program. Field research has verified many of the conclusions. Now a group of Western universities is adapting the simulation technique to help study the entire Western forest region, from Alaska to Southern California. A computer, helping man work with nature to improve our forests. Today, and for the future. IBM, helping people find the answers.
Senator Kennedy, I have to tell you that I don't believe I have ever received as much mail before a show as I have since we announced that you were going to be on this one. Almost all the mail was unsigned, and almost all of it referred to one thing, and that is the events at Chappaquiddick, and they were all pretty rough. Now, does this affect your personal decision as to whether you shall run or not? Does this indicate a reservoir of hatred which is frightening to your family?
Well, I understand that that people feel strongly about me as they've felt strongly about my brothers before me. I would think it'd be a people have been enthusiastic supporters and others have been harsh critics. And I would expect that that would be the case as long as I'm in public life. I've tried to take strong positions on issues. I think that's a part of the responsibility of a public official, and I'll continue to do so. So what I would expect in any campaign that I'd be involved in, people would feel strongly. They'd have the enthusiasm as well as, I suppose, the criticism.
As a campaign issue, Senator, if Chappaquiddick is necessarily a presidential campaign issue in 76, some voters see a slight analogy between Watergate and Chappaquiddick, and that the event itself was not as important as your reaction to it and the time it took you to react to it. 7 days elapsed between the event and your explanation on television, 7 days in which you spent with political advisors and lawyers and speechwriters. Why did it take you so long?
Well, I've responded on the questions of Chappaquiddick. There's a full response in the inquest that has been made public. I think I've accepted the responsibility. There has been a full inquest, and I would expect that people are going to have to make a judgment about it. And I'm prepared to go to the people were I to be a candidate and be judged. I think in 1976, people are going to be looking for a candidate that's going to provide inspirational leadership in this country. They're going to be looking for one that has a healthy sense and respect for the public trust. They're going to be looking for one that will stand up in the issues, someone that has a sense of confidence in the American people and that they have a sense of confidence in. But were I to be a candidate, I'd obviously will be judged. That's where it's going to be, and there's very little that I can do about it now to alter it.
From your political assessment, Senator, of 1976, would you say that Chappaquiddick remains the largest single obstacle to your getting the nomination?
I don't know what the considerations would be in the for anyone seeking the nomination in 1976. I imagine issues have the ability to separate candidates. They did in the primaries and have as long as I've been active in national political life. And so I expect that they would be. What people are going to make their mind up, of course, is something else again.
But you spoke a minute ago of desire for an inspirational leader who will invoke public trust and confidence. At the same time, public opinion polls indicate that I think one out of three do not trust you, and it all stems back from Chappaquiddick. That's the reason for the question. Will that in itself, given the climate of 76, in your judgment, prevent you from getting a nomination?
Well, as I say, that's going to be just something that would be decided by the people. And I'd hope that were I to be a candidate and go to the people in the various primaries, they'll make a judgment on it. Now, that's going to be up to the people to make a decision on it. And I believe that they'll make whatever decision they will at that time.
But you don't have any feeling as to which way they'll judge you?
Well, I don't. I mean, I think that they're going to have to make they're the ones that make the judgment. That's a decision for them to make. All I can do is present myself, my views, respond to any of the questions that they might have, present what I think are the principal issues before the country in 1976, be compared to any other candidates that may be a candidate in 1976, and let the people decide.
Can this be done by polls, or must you actually go to a primary and take it up with the people directly?
Well, I would think that anyone that's going to get the nomination would have to go to the people in primaries.
But, I mean, can you sound the waters with a poll first and decide not
to? Well, I've never had a great deal of confidence in the polls. They indicate a position at a particular time. I think anybody who's followed the recent national political scene, seen candidates ahead 1972 and someone come from completely out of the blue to win the nomination, and that was done in a relatively short period of time. Polls have a way of going up and going down. I suppose, like any political figure, I'm glad when they're up rather than when they're down.
Senator Tunney says there's enormous pressure on you to run. Is there? Do you feel such pressure?
Not solely as I'm concerned as an individual about what's happening in this country.
No, but is there pressure within the Democratic Party from officials thereof or from the people?
Well, there's We've been fortunate in having people who have supported Kennedys over the period of the recent political life of this country and have been good friends and supporters. And they're, I like to believe that they have a common approach towards the problems that we're facing with myself and other members of the Democratic Party, and they're interested in supporting a candidacy where I make to make a decision. But I don't. They've been respectful because of the personal considerations which are overriding.
Well, Senator Jackson's not the only one who thinks that it's yours for the asking. Do you think you're titillating the party too long by saying late 75 when political reality, the clock really starts earlier than that? Why can't you make it early in 75?
Well, first of all, it doesn't seem to have held back Senator Jackson or Senator Mondale or Senator Benson or I would think other members within the Republican Party. They're going out and speaking to Democratic groups. They're forming various committees. They're testing the waters.
But they're very far behind.
As I think that they should.
And why late 75? Couldn't you make the same decision, especially if it's based on personal considerations? Are those personal considerations likely to change over a matter of months in 75?
Well, I think I agree with many that feel that the presidential campaigns are really too long in any event. And certainly the political responsibilities now are towards the 74 congressional elections sometime in 1975 seem certainly suitable to me. There are going to be 26 primaries. We're 3 years away now from the national political scene. And I find that most people feel that we start the national political election or consideration for the national political campaigns much too early in any event.
You don't
so
think
I would think that that's a suitable time.
The luxury of keeping your options open is not a higher consideration for you than the needs of the party, is it?
Well, I don't see where they're conflicting.
You don't?
No.
You don't by delaying and keeping other possible candidates who
but how
feel
does that, how does it keep them out? I don't notice Henry Jackson being at all reluctant and speaking out on the issues or
but
going on various programs or traveling the country and raising funds.
But what the answer, Senator, is you asked the question, if you go to Jackson and Mondale and you talk to them about you, they'll tell you that the minute you make the first move, they're collapsing. And they say it's not fair to them to mount a campaign when there's this question mark up ahead. The minute Senator Kennedy moves, I'm done for.
Now, well, I suppose if I was in their position, I'd be saying the same thing, wouldn't you?
Senator, you mentioned a large group of Democrats who have been supportive of and have seen eye to eye with the Kennedys over the years and who have sort of been behind you and are interested in your career. Does that include Governor George Wallace?
Well, include him for what?
As one of those who's seen eye to eye with the Kennedys
I
over
would,
the years
have to
and
ask
who supports
Governor,
the Kennedy position,
Governor Wallace, but I wouldn't expect so.
Well, regard him as a true spokesman for the populists? Is he really a person
of the
people?
No, I think there are many members of the Democratic Party that have supported his views, not just limited to the questions on the racial issues, but have supported his views in terms of. If you want to describe it as populism.
Senator, there's another leading Democrat to whom you had high hopes would share your views on an issue that you think is very important. It's national health insurance. Congressman Mills of Arkansas said, I think, in 72, when you were helping him out and praising him down in Little Rock, he said, don't you worry, the senator and I will have a program on health insurance. Well, last week it looked as though Mr. Mills and Mr. Nixon had the same program and left you out there all alone. What happened?
Well, Chairman Mills obviously is going to have to speak for himself on his views about national health insurance. He introduced it. I feel it was more as a courtesy rather than anything else. I've talked with him as recently as in the past few days. He continues to stand by our joint statement that we made back in 1972. And I think that has the essential elements for a good national health insurance program. We've got a variety of different programs that have been introduced in the Congress. I'm hopeful we get action on them. He's going to play an extremely important role as Russell Long will. But I'm satisfied that we'll get an important legislation by this year.
Your own leader in the Senate, Mr. Mansfield, has said that he thinks your program is too expensive. He thinks Mr. Nixon's is too cheap. but has already...
I don't think he quite used those words.
Well, that's what he meant, that yours would cost too much.
I'm glad to hear what he meant, because I think the words
used as the two different wings
of expression on health insurance, and I think that... In relationship to the proposals that will be made, that would be probably a fair characterization.
But he has already pulled away from endorsing your policy, your proposal. You are now isolated with Mr. Mills having...
And a number of other members of the Senate, Democrat and Republican alike. We have good co-sponsors. Our program, let's be very frank about it, is an extremely comprehensive program. It's as significant in terms of reform as the Social Security program was back in the early 30s. Medicare debate took 15 years before the Congress actually enacted it. And this is a comprehensive program. We're trying to reform the system. So it's going to take a very considerable debate.
I take it from your public statements and your press releases that you are prepared to compromise considerably to get something through.
Which press releases? Quite
well,
frankly, I
have so many that
I've
the
said
one
a,
I meant was the one that came out after the President's State of the Union, in which you said it was a serious proposal and you were ready to negotiate.
Well, that's exactly right. I thought it was an important step forward, radically different from the initial proposals of 2 years ago. It has a much more, I think, comprehensive benefit package than they had. And it's a more comprehensive in its coverage. It fails in some important respects. It doesn't guarantee quality health as a matter of right to all Americans. It doesn't really do very much about the delivery service. It does something about the financing, but nothing about the delivery. Under the administration's program, if a mother has a sick child and picks up the phone, there's nothing in that bill that's going to make sure that there's a doctor at the other end of it rather than an answering service. Our program is different in this respect, and that's a very fundamental and basic respect. And, of course, there'll be additional billions of dollars that'll be run through the private insurance companies. And this is a matter of very considerable concern, more than $3.3 billion retained by the insurance companies last year. The amount of money running through the insurance companies will be doubled. That's close to $7 billion that I'd like to see out in the benefits program. So there would have to be adjustments in these areas, in the delivery, in the guaranteeing of good quality health at a price people can afford to pay.
All right, well, let's put you on the limb on that. You've been here in the Senate 12 years now. You have a very good grasp of what goes on in the Congress. You're adept at counting noses, like everybody else who's a subcommittee chairman or has any role in the Congress. What do you think is going to happen? How will the adjustments be made in the long run? How will they work out?
Well, I think we've seen a very substantial movement by the administration. I mean, they've moved from here to about here in terms of a movement, but the key adjustments are going to have to come within this frame of reference. And I think those who have committed, I'm very hopeful that we will. I want to work with the administration in every possible way, in a constructive and positive way, to see that we will. But it's still going to take some adjustment from their point of view.
Senator, the overall disarray among the Democrats, not only on this issue but on others, leaves the Congress in about the same public esteem as the presidency and the rest of us and lower than garbage collectors. The sense of hope and belief in the future that John and Robert Kennedy seem to evoke from the American people, is it still there? Or how do you plan to plummet or get it out of there?
Well, I think there's it is there. I feel that the American people feel deeply about concern about the violations of public confidence and trust, which they've witnessed in the recent times, and enormously distressed by it. But I think that leadership can restore a sense of confidence, both of the American people in themselves and also in their institutions.
Do you have doubts about your own ability to evoke that trust and confidence?
Not if I were to be a candidate.
Is that part of the decision-making process to find whether you feel you have that ability
yourself?
No,
that's not an element.
That's a given. That's already there.
Well, I would hope that I could. It's any kind of on that to matter is something that has to be felt by someone else rather than what you believe. But well, it isn't a question as far as my own mind.
Let me put to you once again the question that I derive from the mail that has flooded in on this subject. There's one group of letter writers who say, go get him on Chappaquiddick. There's one group of letter writers on the other side of the spectrum that says, go get him on going down and compromising himself with George Wallace. And there's another group of letter writers that says he's a great man. It sounds like the at least the letter writers are divided into three parts.
I get it about the same, too.
Well, if all letter writers are divided into three parts, can you unify them and pull a majority out?
Well, that would certainly be the question. Were I to be the candidate?
Do you find that the liberal wing of the party, what some columnists call the suicide-prone left wing of the Democratic Party, is thoroughly alienated by your visit to George Wallace?
No,
you do not.
Senator, you once said that your family is pretty uniformly against your running. Is there some member of your family who's in favor of your running?
I haven't polled them all. I did a big group, but I'd say quite sincerely, I feel that most of them have reservations about my running.
There's another problem of candor that you may have to share with all prospective candidates in 76, and that has to do with President Nixon's releasing his tax returns. Senator Ervin did that. Senator Weicker did that. They put them in the congressional record. Senator Metzenbaum and Senator Pell have released their net worth. Will you do that, and do you think candidates in general should do that?
Yes, I would.
You're going to release your net worth?
Yes,
if you were a candidate.
Yes,
and you, right. How about income tax returns?
I would.
But only if you become a presidential candidate, not as a member of the Senate.
That's right.
Any reason for...
No, it's just
one
that really the only reasons is because the relationships of our family are so intertwined. It involves obviously the release of the other members of my family as well. And I would expect, were I to be a candidate, that obviously I'd release my tax forms, and I think that they would understand this. But I'd do so were I to be a candidate.
Senator, in your concept of public financing of campaigns, which proposal is making some progress, how do you visualize the candidate who no longer has to depend on the party structure for his money, but now receives it through the Treasury? How do you make that candidate in any way obedient or faithful to the party if he is free of the party for money?
Well, in a very important way, the financing is only one aspect of the an effective campaign. The other, of course, are volunteers and a campaign activity. And I think in many respects, those you have a way of even strengthening the party by getting it away from the large contributors and making individuals beholden to them rather than to the party. As you well know, in a national political campaign, basically it isn't the party that raises the money, it's the individuals, both prior to the time of the convention, even subsequently. And candidates are beholden to the large contributors. But if you have that element is eliminated, and the candidates then are dependent upon the workers, the people that are going door to door, the canvassers, the other that to run political activities, that very well can strengthen the party rather than weaken it.
How do you evaluate the impact of Watergate on the the congressional elections? It was conventional wisdom just a few weeks ago. Senator Goldwater himself said that it was going to be very damaging to Republican candidates. We've had a by-election in Pennsylvania, and the Republican didn't do nearly so well as was expected. How do you evaluate the impact of Watergate? Is there none? Is there some?
Well, I think at this time there are many Democrats that think that it's going to mean very significant victories in the fall, this fall, and the possibilities of 76. Whether that's really going to be very much different than the historical and traditional second-term, midterm elections, which traditionally have run against the party in power, it's difficult to predict at this time. But I think
you do not see a crushing weight of Watergate on the helping the Democrats.
Well, what's been the effect of Watergate, Senator?
Well, I think it depends in what respect. If you're talking about what the action should be in the Congress, it should be reform and financing of political campaigns, that there aren't going to be any of those that are going to be involved in national political office that are going to be be considered above the law, and that there's going to be a new sense of expectation by the public for any of those that are going to seek national political office in terms of openness, working with the public to try and restore some kind of confidence in them as individuals and also in their view about the office of the presidency. I think that this is really some of the impact. And then I'd say finally, the most significant is probably that the press in this country is probably its greatest day.
Senator, your colleague from Massachusetts, Senator Brooks, says that an impeachment trial in the Senate would take years, and therefore he urges President Nixon to resign for the good of the country. Do you think President should resign?
I'm not one urging him to do so. I think the nature of the charges are sufficiently critical and severe that both the American people, and he's entitled to the procedures which have been established under the Constitution and that are being worked out now in the House Judiciary Committee.
Well, do you think it would be a good thing to have it have the drawn out to its last final play?
I think the American people are expecting the Congress to act in a responsible manner. I think they are. I think the lessons of this past week, which showed a very broad bipartisan support in ensuring that the committee would get the information, and secondly, bipartisan support in insisting that they not be given a cutoff time shows that they're dealing with it in a responsible way. And I think those procedures should be followed. I have a very considerable degree of confidence in the House Judiciary Committee.
Should the Urban Committee of the Senate now fold up and go out of business? Has it done its job?
Well, I think it's done a very effective job. There still are one or two matters, depending on what the evidence that they have, that should be explored, perhaps the milk fund questions, but and they have other matters, but I would expect that they probably won't be in business very much longer, but I think they've done a first-rate job.
Do you think that meetings of the House Judiciary Committee, I understand this is the business of the other body, but I'm looking for an opinion, should they be public, should they be televised?
On the House Judiciary Committee,
yes.
I would, yes.
On impeachment.
Well, obviously they're going to have to make their decision about it, but I would, if I was a member of the House, I'd vote for that.
The question is, will these proceedings, I guess, tear apart the country? Do you think that impeachment
I think there's a very deep danger that the country be torn apart if it doesn't proceed.
So that you think that giving it publicity might have a cleansing effect?
Well, I think they ought to deal with facts, and the Judiciary Committee's developing facts, and they only ought to deal with facts, but if they do, then I think the system strengthened. And if it's just ignored, then it'll be weakened.
Thank you very much, Senator Kennedy, for being with us today on Face the Nation.
All these people are about to make copies in less than 30 seconds on the IBM Copier 2. As you can see, this copier lets you feed in originals continuously. It ejects them automatically, and it gives you your copies fast. The IBM Copier 2, the copier that waits for you instead of you waiting for it.
Today on Face the Nation, Senator Edward Kennedy, Democrat of Massachusetts, was interviewed by CBS News congressional correspondent Roger Mudd, Martin Nolan, Washington Bureau Chief of the Boston Globe, and CBS News correspondent George Herman. Face the Nation has been sponsored by IBM. Next week, another prominent figure in the news will face the nation.